Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sped Homeschool Conversations. We are so glad that you are with us tonight, and we just want you to be part of this conversation. So this month, as part of our theme for Sped Homeschool Conversations and really the theme for Sped Homeschool, we're talking about organization. But like we talked about last week and the week before, organization can look really different when you have different things going on in your home and your homeschooling. And tonight we're going to talk about chronic illness. And our guest tonight is Tricia Soderstrom. Thank you, Tricia, for being with us. We are so glad that you are here to share some of your wisdom through maybe some hard lessons, but you have so much to share. So thank you.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to our discussion.
I am too. I know you had talked a little bit about this at a conference that we were at in October this last year, and it just really struck me how much we forget of the things that we need to be mindful of when there's all these things going on in our lives that we think are not going to happen to us. And yet, if they do, what are we going to do about it? And how are we going to handle those situations? So we're going to kind of touch on a lot of those things tonight. And so I hope you as our audience will join in this conversation, that you will comment and definitely be part of what we're talking about and ask questions and give us some of your feedback as well. We also thank Bookshark for sponsoring this episode of Sped Homeschool Conversations. We'll hear more from them in the middle of our broadcast. But as we get started, Tricia, I just want our audience to get to know you. I see we have one viewer already. Hello, Desiree. We're glad you're here. Thanks for commenting. Why is this topic near and dear to your heart? Can you share a little bit about your story with us and just maybe some background information for our audience just to get to know you? And also what you do. I've got some links. If you talk about your website, I'd love to pull those up too so people can know where to find you.
Okay. Well, chronic illness became a reality in my life it's been 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. I became very, very ill and didn't know what was going on with my health. It was a very scary time. I lost a lot of my memory, my cognition. Mm-hmm. I had severe pain, and I had so many different symptoms that affected different parts of my body, my heart, my brain, my muscles, my joints, everything. Wow. And I literally spent 2 years visiting doctors and specialists and being in physical therapy and just doing all the different things that I thought that I could do to help myself, and nothing was helping. I was getting worse. Wow. And by the end of the 2 year period, I found out that I had chronic Lyme disease and other co-infections that you can get from a tick. And during that time, you know, our homeschool kind of slowed down a lot. I couldn't do the things that I was doing before. Yeah. I couldn't remember anything. You know, I really did think that I had early onset dementia. And my husband kind of took over our homeschool at that point and he changed the way we did homeschool. He changed the curriculum that we used so that I wouldn't have to think or do anything really, you know, to teach.
Right. Yeah.
And then gradually, over the next 2 years after I was diagnosed, my children were diagnosed one after the other with chronic Lyme disease. And then my husband was diagnosed. And so here we are, a family of six, and all of us have Lyme disease. Mm-hmm. And it was really crazy. Like, it's something that you would never think that would happen to you, much less one person getting sick like that, but then an entire family.
Wow. Yeah, so that changed your life, well, probably slowly at the onset, but looking back, I'm sure the change was dramatic from what you went from to how you had to cope with life on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah, everything changed. And as I started getting better, my sister was just really adamant about me helping other people. She saw how I was already helping people, and I was her go-to person when she knew someone had Lyme. And no matter where I would go in the community, I would always end up in a conversation with someone that I would overhear talking about Lyme disease. And yeah. And so like God just kept putting people in my life like that. And she's like, you have to have a blog. You have to put a blog. And I was like, no, I do not want to do a blog. But then I thought, well, you know what, just to get her off my back, I'll put together a blog and I'll just put all the information out there and then I'll just stop and leave it up there. Right. But it just turned into this great therapeutic outlet for me. And then meeting so many wonderful people who are suffering that way and knowing that I can offer some support and encouragement, it made a big impact in my life.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to put up your website. It's called AboundingHopeWithLyme.com. And and you have so many great resources on there. Now, how long has this blog been going?
I started in 2015 on Blogspot. And then in 2016, I was invited to speak on the Anxiety Summit. And I thought, well, I better make my blog real. So then I went to WordPress.
Yeah, that was a learning curve for me too, to get over WordPress, but it's done. Desiree talks about, she has fibromyalgia and fibrobrain. There are a lot of different medical conditions that affect just the ability to think, and that whole, you know, thought of, I have dementia. Thank you, Desiree, for sharing. I mean, I have a neighbor just down the street that I teach her son math, and then she hires out another tutor to teach her some of the other subjects because she can't remember enough. And so homeschooling for her, that's the way that she's worked it out, is to outsource, but still be able to control the people that are working with her son.
Right.
And speaking into his life. It takes on a whole different context. So what did homeschooling morph into as all these changes happened, and how were you processing that as a mom and a homeschooler? That, I mean, were you a type A, type controlling type of person at the beginning?
Very much so. Yep. Very much so. I was so type A. I started out like most homeschoolers do, with the schoolroom and the desks and, you know, saying a pledge allegiance to the flag. Wow. And I quickly learned before I was sick that wasn't really working for us, because I had this daughter that had to move when she learned, and the workbooks didn't work. So we put those away, and I had to learn to be flexible and to teach, you know, to my children, not to the textbook. Mm-hmm. But then when I became sick, the love that I had learned with homeschooling and teaching my kids as a group and learning together and reading together, I had to actually stop doing that because I couldn't. I would fall asleep reading the Apologia Botany, you know, because I was so exhausted.
Right.
You know, that had to change. So my husband purchased, I call it a canned curriculum. It was basically laid out for my children that they could sit down and do on their own with very minimal effort from me. But that's not how I enjoyed homeschooling. I liked doing the research and putting together unit studies, you know. So that changed for a time until my brain function came back and I started to have more energy. And then I could go back to that way of teaching my kids. But then what happened was that my girls got really sick and they became special needs kids. They became kids who couldn't understand the sentence that they just read, or they couldn't make sense of the math problems. And we would have to sit down one-on-one. And it took all day long because I had to teach all three of them this way. We sat down one-on-one and we went through all of their lessons with them. And even though, you know, we were doing a lot of directed learning, I was giving them the time to do their interest, to spend time on their interests. They still needed that help, especially when it came to history or math.
Right. Those subjects that just require a lot of brain processing power and memorization.
Right.
I can see how that would happen. Yeah. Oh. So where are you all right now in this process?
So I was able to get my girls graduated. despite them losing a lot of school time. Mm-hmm. And what I learned was we waste a lot of time in school doing things that don't really matter.
So true.
Yeah. You know, so when you really focus on what they really need to know and then give them all that extra time to do things that they're interested in, it all works out in the end. So my three girls have graduated from our homeschool. And I'm still homeschooling my son, but they did all recover. My husband and I recovered. I've had other health issues that I've been dealing with. But as far as the Lyme disease, we haven't had to deal with that for 3 or 4 years now.
Well, that's amazing. That's great. And so, I mean, this didn't affect just your homeschool life. This affected all of your life.
Everything.
And not having a chronic disease ever myself, what did you have to change just about daily life that that maybe you realized was for the good? And you kind of, as you started putting things back in and getting better, you just changed permanently.
Well, I'm no longer type A. So I can say that was a benefit from having Lyme disease. You know, I still have those tendencies, but for the most part, I had to learn how to just release control over everything. I learned that I'm not in control. God is in control. And where I would try to micromanage and I would try to control the outcome of everything, now I'm in a place where I'm too sick and I almost got to where I just couldn't really care. I couldn't put the energy into that anymore. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn how to trust God with every single day. You know, when your kids are sick and you watch them having, you know, such difficulty learning, or the fact that they might be in bed for extended periods of time because they're in so much pain that they can't get up, they're so fatigued. You start to worry, are they ever going to graduate? You know, will they get a job? Will they be able to go to college? And you really start to worry about their future. So I had to learn how to put that in God's hands. And then there was the house. Okay. The house, not getting the chores done, not keeping it as clean as I wanted it to be. And that was really hard because I'm a clean freak. And so I had to learn, you know, that it's okay as long as, you know, certain things are done, then it's okay that there's still, you know, dishes in the sink and, or that not everything is getting done on a regular basis.
Right.
And at the end of the school year, what it looked like to clean up school was I had a box, it all went in there and it stayed in there. And literally I had a box for every year until I started to recover and I could actually deal with the boxes, you know?
Right. Yeah. There are some things that just, you have to put off to the side. And if you do get to them, you do get to them. If you don't, you don't. I know when we moved off from our farmhouse to Texas, we moved from Minnesota, there was so much I had to get rid of. And I took maybe two papers for each child for each year and the rest got tossed.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just can't move it all. I can take pictures of some of it, but we're just going to have to remember and realize that we did what we needed to do.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I think we keep too many things and we think that we have to hold on to these things. You know, I ended up pictures of things that were important to me, scanning some important papers that might be important for them and getting rid of everything else because I realized we don't need it.
Right. Yeah. Unfortunately, my daughter didn't do that. And now she's going through her closet after we've had now two moves in Texas. And she's finally going, I really should sell these things. And I'm like, you should have sold it 2 houses ago. But I'm glad you're finally letting go of this. Lesson learned.
Yep.
But yeah. So you touched on worry. Mm. That can make us feel worse than instead of better. What are some things that you can tell our community, our audience, just about how to deal with those times when worry sets in?
Well, I will tell you that I'm naturally a worrywart anyway. So that's something that I have always had to deal with. But for me, I have to have time with the Lord every single day. I have to be in the Word. I prayer journal, and memorizing key scriptures. You know, when I was having the brain issues, I couldn't memorize. I would walk around with, this was back when we had the little iPods. I would walk around with sermons and Christian music on an iPod with one earplug in my ear and just that on low so that I could have God's truth in my mind all day long, because it was so overwhelming. My life, it was just so crazy and so overwhelming. And I felt like if I didn't stay in touch with God, I was just going to fall apart. So worrying is just, it's so depleting, you know, on your energy levels. It affects your immune system.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever that you can do to combat that is, it's so important. But another thing was having people in my life that could speak truth into my life, because those false thoughts come into your brain all the time, and they can also take over. So my husband was huge about that. He's always speaking God's word and always speaking truth into my life to remind me what's true. Because it's so easy to just start fear, you know, having fear just take over and believing the lies, you know, and so it's just really a battle. It really is. When you're sick, you don't know what your future holds. You don't know if you're ever going to get better.
Yeah. There's so many extras to worry about and to let go of that each day. I can, you know, that definitely I've found the same thing to be true. I've got to spend my time in the Word in the morning and reset my day. I actually have built my planner in as part of my Bible study now this year. And so you pray over your planner as well as, you know, what you're reading in God's Word. And it's so helpful. But I used to put post-it notes and cards with scripture and read it out loud around my house, because that's what I needed. But I was dealing with depression.
And depression and chronic illness go hand in hand. And I had sticky notes. I had cards. If people came over and opened a cabinet to get a glass, there were, you know, verses all inside the cabinet, you know, and just wherever I could have them, they were there. So that was my lifeline. It really was.
Definitely. So in one of the resources you've created, you talk about risk management. So can you talk to us a little bit about what would be risky that we need to manage in homeschooling, especially, you know, just life, and then especially when you add a chronic illness into that?
Well, I did talk about risk management in the homeschool life, because for all of us, we're going to encounter trials. I mean, it's just a given. So whether your trial is short and rather insignificant, or whether it's really big and it takes up a, you know, a massive amount of time and a massive amount of your life, we do need to plan for that. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. So my heart was just to kind of encourage moms to plan ahead a little bit, because not everybody thinks that they're ever going to go through a difficult time. But if we think about, well, what would happen if, you know, would my homeschool be able to continue? Would my family be able to pitch in and help? You know, I had surgery last year that was completely unexpected. And my husband and my children knew where to find things, because I have this organizational system. I have it laid out where I have important information, where I have my passwords. You know, these are things that are really important for someone else to know. So for me, like, I just wanted to encourage homeschool moms to put together some systems in their home, you know, to be prepared. And a lot of us already do that. We have chore systems, we have a schedule, you know, those are kinds of things that kind of protect us when something happens. Our children automatically know, I wake up at this time, even if it's not written out, I do school at this time, you know, we do this on this day. And those things kind of protect our homeschool so that it can continue to flow, even if mom can't get out of bed, or if, like for me, I ended up in the hospital.
Yeah. It's, we forget how much we're in charge of. And I know I was traveling for, I think, a week and a half, and my husband was so happy when I came home. Because there's this, I mean, there's so much that we manage and we don't really even realize how much our family is dependent on us. And I, taking that step back to say, oh, these are all the things that I manage that other people should know about and know how to access. Yeah, you have an ebook that that goes, it's like, is it like a workbook?
It is a workbook. It's called Risk Management for the Homeschool Mom. Mm-hmm. And it takes you on a process where you do kind of like a brain dump and you identify the different things that you do on a daily basis or a weekly or a monthly basis. Mm-hmm. And you, and I take you through how to do the brain dump, what types of things maybe to think about that you can write down. And right. then I have some forms to help take the brain dump information, put it on those forms and create a really nice notebook so that if you're looking for something or your husband needs to find something, he can go to that notebook and those important phone numbers are in there, right. where you have your passwords, or you can keep your passwords in there, you know, the mortgage company, the electric company, all those important phone numbers that sometimes we're like, wait a minute, you know, who is our electric company again? Right. And that's all there, you know, with the account numbers and everything. Mm-hmm. And then there's a section, there's different sections. So there's your home, and then there's your homeschool. And I do have a section, a small section for people who have a small business, that they can keep some information there. And there's also some links in there of resources that may be helpful. Mm-hmm. And then something that's near and dear to my heart is the family medical notebook. And I have pages in there so that you can create your family medical notebook. And this is something that I think every family should have. And it's really easy to create and it's really easy to maintain. You know, every time you go to the doctor, you pull it off the shelf, you write down the date, why you went, who you saw, and what the outcome was. There's forms for keeping track of supplements and medication. There's just like so many different things in there that you can use to keep track of everything. And I recommend, it is a lot, you know, I recommend just taking one little section and working on it, you know, for a week or two, and then move on to the next section and don't get overwhelmed by it.
Right. Yeah. Because if you tried to do it all, I know I would get overwhelmed really quickly.
Mm-hmm. And my husband laughs because I love forms and I love keeping everything nice and tidy. And he's like, not everybody's like that.
Yeah, I know. My husband has got pretty much all of that information saved on a secure place on digitally. Okay. And when we went on our 25th wedding anniversary, we left our kids at home. You know, they're adults, most of them. And he actually programmed an email to go out a day and a half after we would have gotten home if we didn't come return, so okay. that they would be able to access all of our important files.
Right.
And I thought that was, you hate to think about that, but yet it's so important to think about those things, yeah. because where would they be if we didn't return and they didn't have that information?
Right.
They didn't know who to connect with. Mm-hmm. So,
and we did the same thing when we went away for our anniversary, but ours was not digital. As much as I love technology, I had everything, you know, in my binder, and there were some things that were digital that we sent to our oldest daughter, but for the most part, everything was written down.
Right. Yeah. And he just, in Gmail now, you can schedule emails, which is great. So we just didn't send it. You know, we got home, even though our flight was delayed an extra half day. we built it out far enough. So, but yeah, it's taking time to think about those things when you have the capacity to think right. about them.
Yeah.
is important, and scheduling that and making it a priority. And we rush through so much of life. I know when we moved, trying to find a new dentist took me about mm-hmm. a year because I just didn't want to deal with that process. Right. And yet, you know, you get done with your, why did I stall so long when it really wasn't that hard?
Right.
So, but yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Nature.
And if there's interest, I'm actually thinking about creating a course where I walk people through the notebook and how to put it together. And I think that would be good, you know, just all of us sit down together, you know, like a planner party and plan out. Right.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, I know even when you do something new, it seems daunting because mm-hmm. you look at the whole of it and you go, oh, I just can't fit this in, or I don't know when to do that. But like I watched a webinar one time and it was on some simple thing. I don't even remember what it was, but I watched it and went, oh, I can do that. And then, you know, just went ahead and did it. But it almost seems like we need that kind of kick a little bit, or just somebody showing us this. It's really this simple.
And right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would go over very well, and we'd be happy to promote it for you.
All right.
So, but yeah, there's so many things to think about, that I'm glad that you actually sat down, and I'm sure it was part of your process of what you realized you didn't have written down that mm-hmm. you went back later and said, oh, we should keep track of this, and this.
Well, right. Because even when I was very sick and I had all of the brain fog, I had a very difficult time even trying to figure out what I was going to do for the day. Sometimes I would call my husband and in tears, and I would say, you know, I know that I have all these things to do, but I don't even know how to get started. Wow. And it was really that bad. And he would tell me, he would say, you know, look at your list and ask yourself, what is the most important thing you need to do? And then I would tell him, and then he would say, okay, this is what you need to do. So, and that became kind of like my theme every day is, what is the most important thing that I have to do today? I cannot possibly do everything on my list. You know, so I had to focus on the one most important thing.
Right. Yeah. And we're all that way, but, you know, when you're functioning more, you feel like, well, I'll just get it all done. But prioritizing that with the good and the best, and, you know, and having to even put some of those good things aside, I'm sure is extremely hard.
Oh yeah. Especially when you're type A.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, it's very hard. Even now, you know, I might recognize that maybe I'm not feeling too great, but I just want to go, you know, because I have all these things I want to do.
Right. Yeah, and that's when we stay up too late and we don't get enough sleep, and we start depleting ourselves because our list just seems like it's so much more important than we are.
Yeah.
I want to come back to that subject when we come back, and just prioritizing ourselves and the importance of that. But we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsor, and then I'm going to bring Tricia back and we're going to continue this conversation. So hold on. So I just want to thank Bookshark for being a sponsor for our episode tonight. And if you don't know anything about Bookshark, I'm going to bring up their website. I definitely want you to check them out at bookshark.com. And they are a curriculum that's literature-based. It's a four-day faith-neutral curriculum that you can, like I say, see more at bookshark.com. But Kim McNary, a busy homeschool mom, says, my daughter is on the spectrum as well as she has OCD and has instantly taken to this curriculum. It's incredibly structured, which makes us both ecstatic, and the books are great and the kits are awesome too. I'm running my daughter to all kinds of appointments and this curriculum fits in amazingly. We are first-year Bookshark customers and happy as a lark. Kim is right. Bookshark is a fully planned four-day homeschool curriculum that flexes to match your busy lifestyle. The detailed instructor's guide lays everything out so clearly that you just are prepped by opening the book. You open the guide, you gather your resources, which are all included in your package, and you go. Curriculum is for ages 4 to 16, and it's available either in all subject area packages or individually academic areas. Reading with history, language, arts, science, and math. The Bookshark Literature Rich program, in it your kids will actually read or have read to them 30 to 50 engaging books each year. So visit them at bookshark.com. You can browse their curriculum, you can download samples, and you can request a catalog. So thank you, Bookshark. We greatly appreciate your support. They're actually supporting us through 3 months of broadcasts. And so thank you so much for that. We definitely appreciate that. And so check out their website. But I'm going to bring Tricia back, and we are going to continue this conversation and touch on why. You know, I those lists, they just tend to take over and prioritize over our own selves. And how do we get beyond that? Or first of all, what is the thinking that we're going through, and how do we need to correct that so that we don't allow ourselves to get run down? And especially when, you know, you're talking about chronic illness and your energy and your ability to do things is so depleted. And really having that discussion with yourself about what's most important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for all of us homeschool moms especially, we take the world on our shoulders, and we think that everything is dependent upon us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll hear young moms or young wives talking about how much they have to do, or how they have to do it, or nobody will do it. And what I've learned now, as I've come through years of chronic illness, and because I'm a lot older now, is that I don't have to do it. And if I don't do it, either nobody will do it, or eventually someone will notice it needs to be done and they'll do it.
Exactly. You know?
And it's not the end of the world. And that's the thing that I learned, you know, through a lot of experience with the chronic illness. You know, it's not going to get done. I can't do it. I'm too sick. I don't have, you know, the ability or whatever it is. And, you know, so sometimes things don't get done, and it's not the end of the world. So I think we need to just change our thinking and realize that, first of all, you know, our relationships are way more important than having a perfectly clean house.
Amen.
Second of all, you know, if we're called to homeschool, well, we can't do it all. So if we're going to homeschool our children, that's what we need to focus on. And maybe later bring the kids in and ask them to help you, teach them how to help you. So that's really important. Mm-hmm. You know, so if we change our mindset about that, about, you know, what's on our list, what can we actually physically do? What's really important for today? And if you don't know, then you go to the Lord with that list and you ask him, you know, what is the most important thing that I need to do today? And guess what? He's going to tell you. He's going to make it so clear. And I would do that every day. I would just take my list. What's the one most important thing that I really have to do today? And God was always faithful, and he was always very clear, you know, about what I needed to do. And sometimes when I was being stubborn and I wasn't listening and I wanted to do everything or more than I should, he would always reveal to me that I'm like, I need to back off a little bit. Or, you know, I would do it to myself. I would end up causing more pain or more fatigue, or I would get frustrated with my children, you know? So it's just really important to remember, we're not called to do it all. We're only called to do what God is asking us to do that day. That might be, you know, spending a little extra time with our child who's struggling with their school. It might be helping out a friend, you know, who's going through a difficult time. But we just have to be really careful to listen and to pay attention to what's the most important thing.
Yeah, we talked about that last week, and talking about building margin in our lives. And, you know, the sounds of it, chronic illness builds margin in your life, whether you want it or not. And, but it's using that time that you do have, and being observant about what's most important, and then enjoying what you do have the ability to do and finding joy in that. Can you talk a little bit about joy and just finding joy in, I guess not, we put so much emphasis on what we want to happen. That's what's going to bring me joy. And yet joy is kind of flipped when, and if we put it in the right perspective, then we truly can enjoy life no matter what the circumstance is. What are some things that you have to share about just lessons learned about finding joy in the moments?
I'm going to share a story about a very dear friend of mine, and I don't know if she's listening, but she taught me something when I was a young mom. We raised our children together, and she had suffered a brain injury from a very bad car accident when she was 18 years old. But we would take our children to these parks to go play, and you know, we would just go on little excursions together with our children. And she would find the joy in the smallest little things. And she would be so dramatic about it. Like, oh, look at the sky. It's so gorgeous. Or look at that amazing butterfly that God made. And that taught me so much about paying attention to what's going on around us.
That is so true.
And it taught me, it taught me that, you know, we can focus on something so small, but so beautiful. You know, mm-hmm. when our children learn to read, how exciting is that? You know,
yeah.
if we're so busy and they're reading, but we have to move on, you know, we're missing that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I will admit joy is something that I did struggle with when I was really sick. It was really hard to find something positive. But when I did take that time to really pay attention, there were things that we could find joy in. And we did laugh a lot, you know, and we did make a lot of memories, even though we were all pretty miserable for a long time.
And when you look back, are those are the times you remember.
That's right? What I remember. It's exactly what I remember. And, you know, sometimes I forget how hard it really was until I'm talking to someone else who's going through it. And then I remember, that was so terrible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love how our brains work that way, that we can remember the good. And, but it is, you really nailed it on the head. It's slowing down and being observant.
Mm-hmm.
I know when we lived on our farm, I had 5 different gardens. I was milking a cow. I had 3 foster kids and my kids, you know, and an exchange student. And I had a friend come over who was a photographer, and she took pictures for a day. And I looked at those pictures and I said, I don't see that.
Wow.
Because I'm too busy.
Yeah.
And that was a real wake up call for me, mm-hmm. that I am missing the beauty that's right in front of me because I'm so busy.
Yeah.
And yes, we do need to slow down. And just see the beauty around us. And mm-hmm. and most of the time, it's in the people.
It is.
That. And can you touch a little bit on relationships and just how relationships changed? And with just being your illness and your kids being ill, and how did that, you know, change the dynamics in your family and the focus that you had on relationships?
Wow. It really put a strain on our relationships. You know, I'll be honest, mm-hmm. even when one person has a chronic illness, it can be very frustrating for those around you. Oh, and when my kids all got sick, it became, you know, a real battle when I needed help with something or it was someone's turn to do the dishes. And it always felt like they would argue, well, I'm more sick than you are, you know? So sometimes there was that, you know, but on the other side of that, I saw my kids step up and nurture their siblings and take right. care of them when maybe they were feeling better, but the other one wasn't. So, mm-hmm. you know, there was that, the good and the bad of it. There was having a chronic illness and having the entire family be sick is very hard on a family. It's hard relationally. It's hard physically. It's hard financially. It was hard on our marriage. Mm-hmm. Our one daughter had PANS, which is similar to pandas, but it's caused by a tick bite with the Bartonella and the Lyme disease. And so that rocked our world. You know, here we had this child that had severe OCD and anxiety and rage attacks, and that created stress in the home. And I had to teach her siblings to be kind and to be patient, and that, you know, and even remind myself, you know, this is not really who she is. And we need to be patient with her. And that was really, really hard. And we didn't always succeed, you know. So even now, you know, we talk about that and we all get teary-eyed and it's like, oh, I wish we didn't have to go through all of that, you know, but we did. And we made it out on the other side. And, you know, we have got battle wounds to show for it. But we made it through with God's help.
Right. Yeah. And I'm sure there probably were times where, you know, relationships were the primary focus of everything that you were doing, just holding it together.
Yes.
And trying to hold on to one another.
Yes.
And that's struggles and adversity tend to do that. I mean, it pulls us further apart, yet at the same time, it like knits us together.
Mm-hmm.
And I know just, you know, having gone through depression myself, but both my boys did too. Mm-hmm. And just the ability that we had, you know, it grew us so much closer together because we had that common struggle.
Right.
And so I can't imagine, you know, with your whole family having gone through that to understand and to have to work through those things,
mm-hmm.
Just the strength that it brought to all of you.
Yeah. It's just so, you know, if I can just say one thing that really helped us was just really going to God when we realized that it was beyond our control to help keep our family together, you know, and just asking him to help us and praying with the kids and, you know, being real with them, you know, this is hard and we need to work together. And, you know, this is not fair, but this is what we have and God's going to help us get through it. And that's hard to say when you don't know if you're going to get on the other side, you know, but it's
right. We don't know faithful. If change will happen at all. I was just editing my parents' blog that's coming out next week. And, you know, my parents have been adoptive parents for 30 years. And my dad said in that, we adopt these kids knowing that change may be possible, but change may never happen.
Right.
But we know that we have a God who knows all of that.
Yes.
And it's left up to him.
That's right.
And I thought, you know, that is beautiful. That's a beautiful way to see it, is that we just go on faithfully,
mm-hmm.
whether change happens or not, because that is what God asks us to do, to trust him.
Right.
And it's not about what I can do to make this world a better place.
Right.
It's my obedience that really does allow the change,
mm-hmm.
because it changes me.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we've touched on most things that you wanted to touch on, but I definitely want to give you an open mic instead of me throwing questions at you about anything else that you want to talk about, as we have about 15 minutes left in our hour.
Oh, wow. Well, I think we've talked about a lot of it. You know, I know my community, you know, they're really struggling with their health and it's a real struggle to remember that God is faithful, even when we don't see his hand in our lives. And when I was really sick, you know, that was one of my big struggles was, you know, I didn't see God's hand. I didn't see what he was doing in the background. And I felt very discouraged and I felt like he wasn't listening to our prayers and why was it taking so long? And then I started thinking, well, maybe we're cursed, you know, and all these thoughts can come into your mind and you can start to think, you know, that these things are true and you can start to feel really defeated. And right. So that's where my ministry, my heart comes from. I just wanted to get that message out there, you know, that God is listening and that he loves us so much and that he sees your pain and he sees what you're going through. He sees the struggles, you know, mm-hmm. and he is not silent. He's not just standing back, just watching you and not doing anything. He's working in all the little details that you can't
right.
see. And now that I'm on the other side, I can see
mm-hmm.
what he was doing that I didn't know about. And,
right.
you know, that's just, it's so comforting to me. through my sickness, God strengthened my faith. And I think that he does that through trials. And I think that that's the hope that we can have, to know that he's going to make us stronger. He's going to give us the courage that we didn't have before, and the faith that we didn't have. You know, it can, it will be able to withstand so much more when you come on the other side of a difficulty like that. And your difficulty may be a lifetime, you know, it might be, but those are the people who are those strong trees of the faith. You know, those are the people that I admire. And you can't become like that unless you've gone through some things.
Exactly. Yeah, that is so true. I was talking to a friend just last night about perseverance. And, you know, she goes, Peggy, you just, I just need you to pray. And I said, I'm going to pray that God shows you that he's there. Because if this is a season that you're supposed to persevere, knowing he is there and trusting that will get you through. You're able to hang on longer because you know that you're not alone. But thank you for sharing that, because yes, it can seem like that when you're in the middle of the struggle, you can feel so abandoned. I remember one night being on my knees and praying and just saying, God, I know you're there. I don't feel you. I don't see you. And I am frustrated. And it's those times that they do make us stronger, because we just hang on. You know, it goes back to that, you know, if you're holding on to something and, you know, all your body weight is on it for a long period of time, you're going to get stronger. It's going to hurt. But you can get stronger. If you're in our audience and you have any comments or questions, definitely chime in. We would love to have you join in with us. So you just started a podcast. I want to talk a little bit about that. And I think you have 2 episodes already.
I have 2 episodes. I'll put my third one. I just edited my third one today, so that'll go up on Monday.
Awesome. Yep.
So it's called Abounding in Hope Talks. And it's just one of those things on my list that I've always wanted to try. So I thought, well, I'll try it and see if I like it. And if there's a good response, I'll keep going. But so far it's been good. And I'm hoping to have kind of a combination, you know, just to have maybe alternate shows where I talk about health topics and Lyme disease, and then talking about homeschooling with chronic illness, and then faith-based talks. I'd love to have guests on. I've got 3 people in mind that I want to have on that I think would really bless my audience and anyone who listens. But so you can find it on my blog. I'm on iTunes and all the other platforms.
Okay. All right. So Abounding in Hope Talks. And you can find that at Abounding in Hope with Lyme. beanpod.com. So if they went to Beanpod, would they also find
Podbean?
I'm switching that around. And also on your website, there's a link that goes right to the podcast as well. It's kind of found that. But so as we're wrapping up, I don't see any comments, but I want to ask you a little bit about health as we're finishing up. What did you find that you learned through this process about taking care of, you know, yourself, your health, and just having to change some things with a chronic illness, or just, you know, as you're coming out and continuing to stay healthy?
I have learned more than I could ever imagine that I would have learned in 10 years about nutrition and supplements, and just how important everything that we eat is. It can either help you or hurt you. And how important exercise is. I mean, I have just been blown away by the impact of exercise in my life. And a few years back, maybe 3 years ago, my doctor was thinking that I might have MS because of some symptoms I was having and difficulty I was having walking, and I was falling. And I mean, it was just really kind of scary. And I knew that it was Lyme related. And so I have some permanent damage from some of the antibiotics that I had been on. But So what I found was, as long as I'm exercising and stretching really well, then I'm fine. But if I don't, then I start having that stiffness and that difficulty walking again. So exercise is so important. And while it was very difficult, it just made the biggest impact in my life. So my husband, he was always telling me, you need to exercise. And I'm like, I'm too tired and it hurts too much, you know? And every time I would exercise, I would injure something. And so I started really slow. I started with like 3-minute stretches. And then I did some chair exercise, things that I found on YouTube. I would just, you know, look up physical therapy exercises, and that's how I started. And everything that you need is on YouTube for free. So
that's including us.
Right. But yes, that has made the biggest impact in my health. And then just making sure that I'm resting well, that I get my 8 hours of sleep, you know, that I have the time during the day to take a break, which I'm not always good at because I don't like to slow down. But that's really important for your health, you know? So,
yeah. And our guest last week told us to set a timer on your phone, and that's your reminder to slow down and pray and take a break.
I have a 12-year-old and he'll come say, Mom, come sit with me. Come look at this, you know?
Yeah. So. My daughter always asks, did you eat, Mom? Like, oh yeah. I kind of missed that meal. So good reminders.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Exercise. When we left our farm, I got thrown from a bowl. That's a whole different story. but I couldn't lift my arm any higher than this. And I was in so much pain. It was chronic pain. I couldn't sleep at night and ended up, I thought, I never move again. And, just through lots of painful massage therapy and now exercise, and it's amazing. The exercise I do now, I'm more fit than I was 30 years ago.
Right. So, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot of discipline.
It does.
And a lot, it is very painful when you first get started because your body does not want to do that.
No. When I first started, I was a little rebellious. I just did not want to exercise. And what's really strange is before I got Lyme, I was really very disciplined about exercising and I loved exercising, but now it hurt, you know, and I was too tired. So I set up a planner where I would give myself a reward at the end of every week. And it was something small. So I would go buy a new, you know, pair of exercise leggings, or I would just do something small that I enjoyed, like, I don't know, giving myself an extra amount of time that I could sit outside and listen to the birds, or, you know, something that I enjoyed. And as long as I knew I had that, you know, little perk at the end of the week, then that kind of kept my focus. I'm going to strive for that, you know, little treat at the end.
Great. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Because we all need motivation. And if you know what motivates yourself, you can build that in. So, yeah. And mine is to be artistic. I don't even need a material reward. I just need to know that my exercise is doing something that's not just fruitless. Right. So it's different for each of us. And when you get to know just what feeds you and brings you rest and makes you more healthy. But food is a huge one too. And we tend to be such a fast society that we don't eat well. And so if that tends to be your problem, go 2 episodes back, because we talked about budgeting your meals, but healthy budgeting your meals and eating healthy.
Yeah. And now with the invention of the Instant Pot, that's my new love right now. But you know, a really quick dinner together and it can be very, very healthy. So, and it doesn't take a lot of effort. I even made myself homemade chicken soup after my surgery and it was very easy, you know, and my Instant Pot did all the work.
That's great. Yes. You got to use technology to your advantage as much as you can. And That's learn from others. So do you have recipes on your blog as well?
I have a few. That's not something that I've really focused on, but I have a recipe for elderberry syrup, which would be really great right now for the winter. I have my chicken and rice soup recipe on there. And I have a squash, a butternut squash soup, which is amazing. That's on there. So I do have a few recipes on there.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, I'm going to pull up your website again. It's aboundinghopewithlime.com. And you can find Tricia there. And like I said, all the links, like to your podcast, to your ebook, the risk management for homeschool moms, the link is on there as well. And
I did want to offer a discount coupon for my ebook. If anybody's listening to this, if you put SPED 50, you'll get 50% off of the ebook.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, it's colorful. It's I took a look just through the few of the pictures, and it's way better than my planner that I'm just trying to figure out right now, which is kind of a mess, but it's a work in progress. So, well, thank you so much. This has been so fun and a really good conversation. I think definitely information that we don't talk about enough. And there are so many moms that I know of that deal with chronic illnesses, and their kids have special needs, but yet mom and dad are dealing with things too. And how do we balance, how do we juggle that? And oftentimes we just say, well, I'm just not going to homeschool. But if you're feeling called to homeschool, you can do it.
Yes.
But you just have to be very purposeful. And I think Tricia's got some great resources for you. So definitely.
And that's actually the topic for my next podcast. It'll come out on Monday, and it's about homeschooling with chronic illness. And I address that because that is a real concern. And a lot of homeschool moms feel that they need to put their children back in school. Yeah. And I wouldn't do that unless you feel a very clear calling, you know, from God to do that.
Yeah.
But it's doable. You can do it.
Right. Yeah.
It's not easy, but it's doable.
I ended up with my parents. We kind of were starting that conversation before we started the video, is my mom had a heart attack, and I still have 5 siblings at home, and they put them all back in public school. And now the process is they're all coming back out and they're starting to homeschool them again. So my dad was emailing me for curriculum. And so I had some good suggestions for him, but yes, it's, don't make it a reactionary thing that just because this major thing happens in our life, that homeschooling must be out. Really do pray about it. I think your life is a testimony, Tricia, that God can work through those things. If you're called, he will equip and he'll provide what you need.
Yep, he sure will.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much. And this wraps up our month on organization. So next month, we are going to be talking about adoption. It's the month of Valentine's Day, and we all talk about love, and loving the orphans is something that we're called to do, whether we're to bring them in our own homes or to support families who do adopt children or do foster care. And so we're going to be really focusing on that next month and giving families that adopt resources, but as well as you who maybe just know people that do, whether they're in your church or in your neighborhood, and how to support them and to maybe understand a little bit more about what's going on in their homes, because it's very complex if you haven't been involved in that relationship before. So our guest next week is Jennifer Colmore. She is a past team member for SPED Homeschool, but she is an adoptive mom of 2 young girls. Actually, Yan just turned, I think, 18 or 19. So she isn't so young anymore. But but she has an amazing story. And our subject is going to be creating a joyful adoptive home. And she has so much joy with these 2 girls. She adopted them as a single mom and stepped away from being a speech and language pathologist and having her own practice just to raise these 2 girls. And the joy that she's created in their lives is amazing. And I'm excited to share their story with you next week. So, and also just to let you all know, we have some groups we're launching on Saturday. And so watch our social media about that and links, because they're going to be regional groups where you can connect with each other and share resources in an environment that is actually completely safe to share your data, because they're not trolling for it. So just look for that. But let's keep the conversation going in our groups, and we'll see you again here next week on Sped Homeschool Conversations. And definitely check out our website at Sped Homeschool. So thanks, everybody. Thanks, Tricia.
Thank you.
This has been a wonderful conversation, and we'll see you all again next week. I'm ready.
Bye.